Good morning. It's great to see Mike and Kaylee. It's just a wonderful thing. I used to travel a little bit for the government, not as long as he has, but it's always great to come home. After 3 days, I said, I got to go home. They said, why? I said, I smell my wife's hair on my pillow. It's time to go home. And so I can only imagine, and we thank you for your service to our country. It takes men like y'all to do those things. Let's see if I can get all this going. Yeah, let's do it different. We're going to do it a little different this morning. I'm going to ask you a question. It's the 28th of December. In about a week, what are we all going to be doing? And that's what most people will be preaching about today. To do what? Resolutions. New Year's resolutions. Well, that's what I started out, New Year's resolution. I was going to do that, and as Neil and everybody else we've talked about, you know, we pick out a subject and we start to study. And the first thing you don't know, our sermon is nothing like what we envisioned it. It's something else. And so that's what this did. And so I started to do that. I got to figure out this here, a little bit of stuff here first. Yep, New Year's resolutions. That's what we're going to be studying about. And got a lot going on. No doubt, you know, no doubt, if you think about it, New Year's resolutions, usually when you preach about something like that, you're preaching about how people abuse that type of thing, but I don't think there's nothing wrong with doing New Year's resolutions. There's exactly nothing wrong with it. But as I studied to do a lesson on that, I came across something that I thought maybe was even more important to speak on. That has to do with that. It could be the foundation of being able to do resolutions. And so that's what I thought I would do, and we'll get to that in just a few seconds. Genesis 24:15, that is a profound way to declare your faith like Joshua. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a resolution. And that's the kind of thing that most of us try to find to do after New Year's, which is nothing more than a custom in our country that, you know, the first week of the year, you kind of look at your life and you try to get it straightened out a little bit. Try to do better on some things you may not have been doing so good on the time before. And that's where I started out with, but I didn't find anything wrong with that resolution. Something else just triggered my memory to that I wanted to speak on much more than that, even though it could have a lot to do with it. Romans 12:2, it says, be transformed, not conformed to the world. Bill knows what it is to be transformed. It's when something is changed shape, something is changed by influence, not physical pressure. Conformed is something like pouring water in a glass. The water conforms to the glass. A transformer that makes electricity, even though the power that's coming into that transformer has nothing to do with the power going out, it is what makes it and controls it. That's transformed. And so that's kind of like the Word of God. That's kind of like resolutions. You know, we've got to be changed. We've got to be thinking about making change, getting better at things like that. I find it interesting that the tradition we engage in doing resolutions, is not a Bible topic where you can go to a concordance and look up New Year's resolutions. It's not there. But I will agree that the principle is strongly there, and it's a good principle to take hold of and to do. But this morning I'm going to do a little something a little different. When I was thinking about doing the resolution, I was kind of counting my score. And I don't know how old I was when I started doing New Year's resolutions. Probably 50 years ago, anyway, somewhere along in there. And I got to thinking about, now, what's your score? And I came down to it, I figured my score is 0 to 50. If I made one resolution each year, I probably have kept zero. And so, you know, I said, you know, what's going on with that? So I wanted to do better at something, so I'm going to do something else. I have thought about resolutions. There you go. And in Colossians 3:1-2, it says mostly, I did that because I think mostly my resolutions were misplaced. Mostly misplaced personal desire changes, not spiritual. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, most of the time when we do the New Year's resolution thing, it's how to improve our life in some way, how to improve what I'm doing for my family. They are all biblically based teachings of how we should live, but they're not like spiritual subjects. Spiritual subject would be, I'm going to study 30 hours more a month than I did last year, or I'm going to read the Bible through in a period of time. I want to understand those type of things. But it's because we are human beings and our life is physical, we have a tendency to more to graduate to the those resolutions that has to do with this life. God does give training. It's a hard thing to do those resolutions. I'm an utter failure. I'm 0 in 50. And that's given me a lot of time to get started late. I'm not 50. I wish, I can remember when I was 50, but I'm not 50. Yeah. But he gave education starting with from the very beginning. If you look into the Bible and you start thinking about resolution and you start thinking about spirituality, you start thinking about things in your life that aren't exactly right, in the very beginning, God gave instruction. God gave things that we should be able to be thinking about. Then he gave warnings about the disobedience. With Adam and Eve, he said, don't partake of the tree of life. You know, you can't partake of that. Leave it alone. And Eve didn't listen. Something happened. Something went downhill. But God has said that if you do partake of that, you shall surely die. And that has a whole lot of connotation to it. Spiritual, physical, all of it. All those things that happened to Adam and Eve, those are things that happened to them. In Genesis 3:6, what simple human trait did that require to stay righteous in a relationship with God? Eve could have done one thing. If she'd have done one thing, she would have never sinned. What do you think it would be? Huh? Don't listen to Satan. But what about recall? If she'd have just recalled what God had said, who God was, remembered. You know, you what's going to happen to me if I do something wrong? Well, Satan sounds great. I'm going to be like God. I can discern between right and wrong. But she forgot something. And that, don't forget the important stuff. That important stuff is what God said, the day that you do not listen to me, you shall surely die. And all the connotations that went with it. They were cast out of the garden. They had to change their life completely. Had to fend for themselves. God was providing it all in the garden. Now they were out there by Adam by the sweat of his brow, and Eve bearing children through the pain of childbirth. And also the sweat of her brow, raising children. The most important thing is she forgot who was God. She just did not focus on it. And that's what happens to us kind of through our life as we go through. We kind of forget things and we'll start doing other ways than what we were when we were successful. And our success might go down a little bit. That's what brings about resolutions. We want to change things that have not been going the best till they're better. And so that's what we do. Just remember what God wants. The biggest thing is to remember what God wants. And this morning, what does that mean? Recalling what we are told to do by God. That's pretty simple. You can't get no easier than that. You just need to recall what we've been told by God. So we just need to remember what God asks of us. God never requires anything of us that he has not already instructed us and trained us in. He gave training in the beginning to Adam and Eve. He told them what, you know, they could do. Here it is, dress the garden, keep the garden, but don't partake of this tree. And they did it anyway. They forgot who God was. They didn't remember who God was, and in that way they sinned. Remember, God addresses remembrance. After Adam and Eve's good God's requirement of remembrance is always a warning to those he chooses to be his people. If you look at the Bible, you see Adam and Eve, and then it's not far, God dealing with all of mankind, then God chooses a peculiar people. He chooses a people. He's going to have a group of people from Genesis to Revelations that he deals with in specific ways. And those are things that, you know, that he's going to prepare those people for. If you're God's people, he wants you to be as like him. He wants you to be righteous. He wants you to be merciful. He wants you to be humble in all the things that you do, but also all the power and the grace and the mercy that he has. Who needs to remember? Deuteronomy 5:15, from Moses to the seed of Abraham, remember God's faithfulness. In Deuteronomy 5:15 says, "You shall remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. The Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." Here, he's setting it up that the children of Israel, who were the descendants of Abraham, that he had chose Abraham and his descendants to become his people. But he gives them those warnings. He's training them. He's telling them how to maintain their relationship with him. You got to do this. And what does he say? He says, remember that you were slaves. Where had they been? They had been in Egypt for 400 years. That's a long time. You know, when you try to put all these times and stuff together, it's amazing how long God's patience and how long God's plan was developed. And so he said, remember, you were slaves for the children of Abraham under and those that were in Egypt. He says, remember that you were slaves and that God saved you. He sent Moses as the prophet to get you ready. But God is the one that did it. Said he brought you out with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand. That's pretty good. That sounds great. I wish I could talk like that. An outstretched arm and a mighty hand. Therefore, the Lord your God commands you to observe the Sabbath day. They're going to keep the Sabbath day. All of God's people are to keep the Sabbath day. Because God has decided that the Sabbath day, because of it and in the creation and also these people, he says, you're going to keep this Sabbath day as a memorial. And so he sets it up. Deuteronomy 8:2, you shall remember all the ways which the Lord your God has led you into the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, test you, to know that was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. God is preparing them. Moses is talking to the children of Israel right before they're going into the promised land, and he's telling them all these things. He said, God brought you through the wilderness. He delivered you. He fed you. He protected you from all your enemies. And now he requires something from you for that. He wanted to know what your heart was. He wanted to know where your heart is with God, whether you would keep his commandments or not. It's amazing how it boils down to keeping commandments. It always boils down to keeping commandments, because God's people cannot just be anybody. And every commandment that he gave was to groom them, was to make them what the world sees as God's people. And he says, don't do the wrong things, but do the right things. If you don't, then there will be consequences, training. God saved and preserved them. He saved them from armies. He saved them from hunger. He saved them from thirst. And he gave them a promise, the land of promise, eventually. In Exodus 12:14, now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Through your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. So we see God has given laws, he's given them instruction, and now what's he doing? He's setting up a memorial. Something that they can see. He says, from now on this very day, every year, is going to be a special holiday. And I'm going to set it up that you might remember it. It's a day that remembers me bringing you out of Egypt. That high hand and that strong hand and that high, you know, it's just the power of God. He said, I want you to remember where you were, what it took to get you out, and who brought you out. And this day is going to be a memorial for that. So we see God establishing, he has memorials, he has warnings, he has rules and regulations. And so you see, we see all this stuff, God preparing us. We have no excuse. God provided a memorial feast of unleavened bread so that they would not forget his place as their God and deliverer. What did God want? He wanted them to remember his faithfulness. Because eventually, what does God want from them? That same faithfulness. God is faithful. So if you're God's people, what should you be? You should be faithful. And so these are all things as God is training these people, his people. And whoever is God's people, you know, we can see how he's working. He will always keep his word of promises, of blessings and curses. God never let nobody down. He never warned and his law broken that he didn't respond to that in the way that he warned the people. If he said you're going to be cast out, they were cast out. If he said you're going to die, they died. If he said, I'm going to let your neighbor rule over you if you don't do these things, and they did. We saw all of that through the children of Israel. That he had saved and preserved them, that's what God wants. He wants them to hear the rule, the laws, hear the way God wants them to be. He wants them to observe the memorials that he did in order that they might remember who he is and take heed to the warnings and things. And he also saved and preserved them. He brought them out of Egypt to a land of promise that he required them to keep his covenant and its commands. In Deuteronomy 8 and 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes. He's warning them about what? Remembering. Remembering is really an important subject in the Bible. From the Genesis to Revelations. Remember, remember, not so much as recall, at which can all be together, but remember really pretty much identifies it, that it's your responsibility to be aware of who God was, what God has said, what God wants you to do. The definition for, it's very evident that the use of the word to remember in the Bible is more than mental recall. I have a lot of problem remembering. If you believe it or not. Kind of hard to believe that, but, you know, what did you say your name was? Oh, David. And, but that's not all there is to remembering. I came across some points and I got to looking at that up and I came across a definition. Here's a definition that I really like. An active transformative act of bringing God's past deeds, his covenants, and commands into the present to shape faith, encourage obedience, and foster a relationship with him, often leading to decisive action or participation in divine faithfulness. Can't get much better than that. When you remember, I remember that, it's going to provoke me to action. It's going to cause me to do things. I'm going to do things that I should be doing. It's going to cause me to be aware of what I'm trying to remember and what are all the things about it. It's not just recall, oh yeah, God spoke to me. It's recalling all these commandments and that shape faith and encourage obedience and foster a relationship, because God wants a relationship with his people. What of us? God instructed his people in the Old Testament. He said, remember me, pretty much what we've discussed so far. Remember me, and remembering me was not just that recall thing, but remembering him, keeping his covenants, keeping his commands, keeping his memorials that he set up for them. And remember that he was God. So what about us? In Romans 15:4, it says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Everything that we had talked about up to now was like an introduction. And now we want to make an application to ourselves. So what do we see in all this remembering? Is that everything God had said earlier was there by the Holy Spirit. And by the Holy Spirit, we look at it and we need to learn and we need to be engaged in it. We need to do the things that it says. And that from that, we have hope because of the promises that are in it that connect to us. Who are we? In 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, it says, "But you are a chosen race." Not talking about the Jews, not talking about the world, talking about y'all and me, us. This is us. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who was called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people. We all were somebody else. I was Garfield Clark's grandson. Sandy was Mr. Farmer's, her Mr. Farmer's daughter. And all those, we were all different people. We were just people. But when we answered the gospel call, we became God's family. He says, "For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God." So God is expecting the same thing out of us as his people as he was out of Adam and Eve, out of the descendants of Abraham. God trains. He gives us information, but he also provides all the direction. He provides all the protection. He provides all the care that we need. And he gives us things and he gives us hope. Because he provides for us in the New Testament something way beyond all the physical things of life that he had promised the children of Israel. He provides us a living hope. We're just like them, God's people. God's better way to me, his possession. We don't have to try to figure out what we need to do to improve our lives. Like those resolutions. We don't have to try to figure out what that to do in our life. Because God has already provided for it. He tells us everything that we need to know. God's already done it and directed our steps, just like he did the children of Israel. He gave them the law. He directed their steps and everything that they needed to do. And in our lives, he's directed our steps. More so spiritual these days than it was in those days. He was trying to prepare people to bring forth the Messiah. And there were certain things that they had to do that he needed for them to be in order to do that. But he's already directed our steps, even in the physical, in his life. He tells us what to do and what not to do. But he also prepares us for a spiritual life. So how do we do it? Just remember what he said. All we got to do is remember what God said. People that get up here sometimes, you know, I don't have the delivery of a lot of people, and other people are great at it, but it's hard sometimes to get past the delivery to the meat of what's going on. You want to hear what the speakers are saying, because those are the things that God is going to judge you on, not how good I presented it, not how good anyone else presents it, Eddie, David, Neil. No, it's not that. As long as we're presenting the truth, that's what God is going to require of us. Remember what he has said. Remember what? In 1 Corinthians 11:23, if you go in the New Testament and open it up, and this is not all of them, but it's some of the very important ones, you got to remember the Lord's body. How many times have we read 1 Corinthians 11:23-32? At the Lord's Supper. He said, "This is my body. This is my blood. Sacrificed for you." He took on the punishment and the disgrace of the cross in his body. And his blood paid the price, innocent blood paid the price for us, that we might be able to be the children of God through the gospel. God has prepared the way. He's given us the training. He told us what we need to do. And for those that don't accept it, he tells them what's going to happen. But we see that one is to remember about the Lord's body. Remember from where you have fallen when weak. Sometimes when life ain't going too good with us, say, boy, I wonder why I did that. I do that a lot. I wouldn't have done that a month ago or a year ago or sometime in the past. My faith was stronger. Our faith is not always right where it needs to be. Sometimes it's up and we're strong as we can be. Sometimes because of things going on around us, we might be discouraged or whatever, and our faith is weak. And we don't do what we know is the right thing to do. So how do we take care of that? From where you got to remember from where you have fallen. So if things aren't going your way and you know it's wrong, just sit down and say, let me think about this. What am I doing that I should not be doing to God? And then not only that, but to truly remember, what do we need to do? We need to make the application. Whatever it is, whatever we need to do in our lives, we need to fix it. In 2 Peter 3:1, he says, stir your minds to remember the words spoken by the prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoke by your apostles. Peter is telling you, your apostles has told you what God wants you to know. And he says you need to stir up your mind. Think about it. Remember it. Remember it in a biblical way where it's not just recall. Well, I need to be doing that. Well, I'll get to it later. Need to be doing that. Should bring on some repentance sometimes. Repentance to straighten out our life. Maybe just between you and God. Maybe between you and someone else. Maybe between you and the church. Whatever it might be. But you need to stir up your mind and remember what God wants us to do. And if you can't find an exact scripture where Jesus is in red, just look at all the rest of them. Because here he says, spoken by your apostles. That's what Peter said. The apostles had the authority to tell you what God wants you to do. And he expects us to do it. Remember what? John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit from the Father, will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Somebody said, well, Ray, he was talking to the apostles. That's true. He was talking to his apostles. But we also find in Scripture where we have the Holy Spirit in us. And that we too can rely on the Holy Spirit to help us remember through prayer and study and looking and doing what we need to do. He says, remember, God will help, has help for us. Add it up. Remember the Lord's sacrifice, a memorial feast. This morning, we took of a memorial feast that was established by Jesus Christ himself. He said, this is the supper. When you come together, break bread together, because it's my body and it's my blood, and they were sacrificed for you. Where do I stand with God now compared to where I have been? Delivered from sin. You were delivered from sin. Sometimes we need to get back away from it. Remember the word spoken by God through his servants. Guide to keeping in God's word. Final thoughts. I noticed one glaring conclusion from Genesis to Revelation. God has not changed how he tells us to remain faithful from Adam to us. He's not changed. You just have to remember. We've got to remember God, who he is and what he's asking. Make a conscious decision of reality, of really what that means. Don't blow it off. It's not just a little recall. It's remembering and doing and getting it done. From Adam to us. Remember all he has given us as a guide and help to have his promises and blessings. And that's it. Appreciate your help, your patience in listening. Like I say, it didn't turn out what I thought it was going to turn out, but I hope it helped in some way. Yeah. There's a lot of things God has told us to do, a lot of things God asks us to do that we need to do, but one very important thing, even helps us make good resolutions, is to remember. We need to remember who God is, that He is our Creator, and that He has given us all, everything that we need that pertains unto life and godliness. He's told us all of it through the apostles, through the prophets, through the Word that he's provided for us. So I leave that with you and hope that it helps in some way. I appreciate your presence this morning. If there is some need that you have through the gospel, spiritual need that you have this morning, we are always open to the call from the pulpit for those that want to come forward and ask us to pray and to help. Or you can talk to us after services or whenever. Most of the time, most of the things that are in our lives are things that we can handle that are not public. But often the public needs to be aware because they were done in public. So this morning, if you're in need of the help of the church in some way, we'd be glad to do that. But also, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need to think about that. Because if you have not been washed in the blood, if you've not been baptized for remission of your sins, you have no hope for the resurrection. And so with those things in mind, if you need our help in any way, come while we stand and sing.